Good morning. It is good to see you here. If you see people in a funny mood this morning, there's all kinds of reasons for it. We've had a plethora, and I don't use that word often, a plethora of things going wrong. The computer at the back and this projector at the front stopped talking to each other this morning. So we had no screen, no projector for all the songs in the first service. So we've jury-rigged something together where we've got Ed's computer here hooked up, and apparently Lloyd is going to sit there and work it for us. And so that's good. That's good, unless somebody else wants to do it, yeah. If the projector goes down again, most of the hymns are in the hymn book, so we're okay. The last one is not, and we've got a substitute if the projector goes away on us. But we're good. But there's a kid check was having a problem. The upstairs, the projector was a problem up there. Just all kinds of things going on. I got grape juice on my shirt for service, but it's behind my tie. Signs falling off of doors. It's like there are gremlins in the building. But the Lord is also in the building. The Lord is in this place. And so whatever might go wrong, I'm not worried about that because we're here to worship God. And that we can do whether there's a projector, lights, or whatever is not working. We're gathered to celebrate the Lord, and we're going to do that. A few announcements that we have, and I've left my thing over here. If you paid for a photo directory and or a stick with your pictures on it, those can be picked up in Campbell Hall following the service. This Thursday evening, just before we head into Holy Week next week, we will be having a presentation by Carl D'Souza, who is a representative of Jews for Jesus. And he is going to do a presentation on the Seder service, the Passover Supper, for us, that will talk about how it works, the story that is told, and how that connects with Jesus and the Last Supper and his preparing for his sacrifice on the cross. So I'd encourage you to come. It's at 6:30 on Thursday evening. It's not a full supper. You do need to eat beforehand, but we will be sampling all of the different foods that are involved in the Seder meal. So I would encourage you. I have noticed that we always have sign-up lists for stuff, and I sometimes feel we do that too much, and so I didn't do it for this, and then this week I'm going, I have no idea how many people are coming. So if you are thinking about coming on Thursday, just a show of hands, just to give me an idea, would be awesome. Okay, Thursday, 6:30. Okay, thank you. That's good. I've got a general idea where we're going with this. So that's Thursday evening, and we also have the three services in Holy Week, Maundy Thursday, which is a communion service and a foot or hand washing service. We have our Good Friday service, which is a profound service. It's an easy one to stay away from because it is the dark side of why we have faith, but it is also why we have faith. And so I would encourage you for that. And then our celebration services on Easter Sunday. There's also been a couple of incidents in the annex, which is, for those who haven't been here long, in Campbell Hall, there's a wall that's open sometimes and closed sometimes. The back end of that is considered the annex. And kids play in there afterwards. And there's been a couple of things where kids have been a little eager in their play, and smaller kids have kind of been at risk. So just kind of parents, just be aware of where your kids are and what's going on there. That would be appreciated. If you are visiting with us or are new here, I would invite you to come for some tea, coffee after the service. My wife is looking after coffee this morning, so I know when she's on, it's all good. So would encourage you to come for that. And if you're looking for any information, the hub desk just in the lobby out here, you can get that information there. I think I'm going to stop talking. Let's prepare to worship God. In spite of problems, we worship the Lord. Because of problems, we worship the Lord. In all situations, joyous, sad, hard, glad, we worship the Lord because He is Lord and is worthy of all praise. Let us worship God together. Bible says, don't put your trust in princes and in chariots. Put your trust in the Lord. Don't put your trust in projectors and computers. Put your trust in the Lord. Keep the hymn books handy. Let's pray. Our loving God, in the midst of things going awry this morning, we bow before you. And we do so with thanksgiving and gratitude. We celebrate you. We worship you, we honor you, we praise your name because you are good, you are holy, you are the Almighty, you are the creator of the heavens and the earth. And in the fullness of time, at the time of your choosing, you, O God, became human in Jesus Christ and lived amongst us, lived for us, died for us on the cross and rose again from the dead. That in him we should be forgiven, and in him we should have life. And you, O Father, raised Jesus, and he ascended to your right hand. And you sent your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, upon your people, upon your church. We worship you because of all that you are. We worship you because of all that you have done and are doing in our lives and in this world. We worship you, O God, with all that we are, with our hearts, with our minds, even with our bodies. Bless us with your grace. We pray that you would forgive our sins, because we know that we, at least at times, turn from you. We want our own way rather than your way. Forgive us. Forgive us all our sin in Jesus. Heal our brokenness because of sin. Heal us in Jesus. Make us new in Jesus, that we should live for you and follow our Lord. Bless us now, Lord. Pour out your Spirit upon us and fill us to overflowing. We ask in Jesus Christ. And we continue to pray together our Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us hear God's word.
Psalm 126 is found on page 613 in your pew Bibles. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed.
Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them.
The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy.
Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the river.
Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy.
Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves to them.
This is the word of the Lord.
Children, come up front, please. Hi. How are you guys today?
Good.
Good. Well, there's nothing going to go wrong now, is there? No. We're not going to do that. Do you know that Jesus did a lot of things for people when he was here? And we're going to learn about something that he does today for people. But he gave everybody. Do you know that he gave you a gift? Jesus gives you gifts that you have in your life. Yeah. And when you get a little older, even now you can use your gifts. But when you get a little older and start using gifts more and more, it grows and grows in you. It's like Jesus gave us this gift, and if we use it, it grows, right? And right now, you know what your gift can be? Ah, I see it right there on your faces. That beautiful smile that God gave you. And that is so nice for people. And when you come down from Sunday school today and you see all these people behind you in Campbell Hall and whatnot, you give them a smile and say hi. They like that, right? You like that? Yeah, we like to know that. So Jesus gave gifts, but he also did a lot of things for people. And you know what strange thing that he did? He washed the disciples' feet. He washed his followers' feet. Why do you think he would do that? Do you know why they would do that? Yeah?
Because he was also their servant.
Yeah, he was. He served people. He did that. That's a great idea. You know that when they went from place to place, they walked. And you know what? They didn't wear running shoes like you guys have on your feet. They wore sandals. And they walked and walked in the sand and in the dirt and everything. And when they would get to a house, their feet would be pretty dirty, eh? Well, it was a very welcoming thing for whoever's house they came into to them wash their feet. It was like a gift that they were given. So we're going to talk more about that when we go upstairs. But right now, let's just pray together before we go out. Heavenly Father,
we thank you
for Jesus and how he showed us
to welcome people.
Help us, Lord, to be more and more like Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Okay, we're going to walk upstairs.
Let's pray. Our loving God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Bible. And we pray that you would open it to us. Open to us your will, your understanding of all that you would say, and bless us with hearts and minds to receive and to understand and to do your will. We pray in Jesus. Amen. This morning we are reading from John's Gospel, John chapter 12, verses 1 to 8, which may or may not be behind me, I don't know. Oh, cool. Let us hear God's word. 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. One of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to whatever was put into it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Have any of you ever had someone in your life that you appreciated, but somewhere along the line you realized that you took them for granted? And it took perhaps another person expressing appreciation for that someone for you to realize how deep your thankfulness should be for having that person in your life. Ever happened to you? It's happened to me. The biggest, most important time happened to me when I was at a big feast, a big dinner. "Hi, my name's John. I was one of Jesus' 12 followers. And I'm here today to tell you about that incident, that time that transformed my appreciation for Jesus as Messiah and as my Savior." We had been in Jerusalem. Jesus was teaching in the temple courts, and there was some tension growing between Jesus and some of the religious authorities. So we left the city. We didn't run for our lives, it wasn't like that, but we felt that we needed to get out before something bad happened. And so we left, and we went a fair distance out of the city. In fact, we crossed the River Jordan, and Jesus taught there. And more people were coming to trust Jesus just as we did. And it was while we were there, on the other side of the Jordan, that word came to us that Lazarus was really sick. Now, Lazarus was a friend to all of us, but particularly a close friend to Jesus. And so we expected that we were going to pack up and head to Bethany, where Lazarus lived. But Jesus said we weren't. We were going to stay put. And he continued to teach. 2 days later, Jesus said, okay, now's time, let's go. So we gathered our things, meager as they were. We crossed the river and we journeyed to Bethany. Before we actually got into the town proper, there were people there who told us that Lazarus had died 4 days earlier. We continued into the town. Lazarus had two sisters, Martha and Mary, and both of them, one after the other, came out to greet Jesus. And Jesus wept with them. We all wept with them. And then Jesus said he wanted to see the tomb, which is something you do, right? You want to see. It makes it real for you. So we all went out to see the tomb. But when we got there, Jesus told some of the men to roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb. And then Martha, God bless Martha. Martha says, Lord, he's been dead 4 days in the tomb. The smell of rot is not going to be good. And Jesus said, I'm going to show you God's glory. And so they rolled the stone away. And then Jesus prayed. And then in this commanding voice, Jesus said, Lazarus, come out! And Lazarus came out. And it was Lazarus. It wasn't something less than Lazarus. It wasn't a zombie. It was Lazarus as he had been, as he had always been. It was Lazarus. Well, you have to know that word of something like that's going to spread fairly quickly, even without social media. And word spread. And Bethany's really close to Jerusalem. So we felt it wasn't safe for Jesus to stay there. So we went off into the wilderness and just kind of found a spot and camped out for a time until things calmed down in Bethany again. And once things did calm down, we were invited to a feast. And the feast was to celebrate the fact that Lazarus was alive. And Jesus and Lazarus would be guests of honor. And so we went to the feast. We gathered around the table. We reclined at the table. In those days, the table was low and close to the ground, and you had cushions and all kinds of things that you leaned upon with your head close to the table and your feet as far from the table as it could be, or as they could be. And that's how you ate and visited with each other. It's so much more sophisticated than sitting in chairs, don't you think? And so we ate. And there she was. God bless her, Martha. She's helping to serve the food. You could always count on Martha helping out. But Mary was nowhere to be seen until she was there. And there she was, standing at Jesus' feet, holding a container. Nobody else seemed to even notice that she was there until she broke the seal on the container and opened it. And the aroma of nard. Do you know nard? Is that still a really popular perfume? Well, maybe it's because it's so expensive they don't make it anymore. I don't know. But it was a really expensive perfume. And the aroma wafted through the room, and all eyes were then on Mary. And she crouched down by Jesus' feet, and she took the container and began to pour the perfume on Jesus' feet. The smell that I was smelling told me that this was probably pure nard. It wasn't watered down with anything. That made it really expensive. How expensive, John, you ask? It was expensive and costly enough that a family of four could have survived on what that perfume cost. for a year. They wouldn't have been rich by any stretch of the imagination, and there would have been tough days, but a family of four could have survived on what that perfume cost. And there's Mary continuing to pour it on Jesus' feet. I was shocked. Everybody was shocked. The room was silent. I had a quick glance around, and everybody's eyes were big. Mary pouring the perfume on Jesus' feet. And just as the room began to revive from the shock, Mary upped the shock value even more and pulled the pins out of her hair and let her hair down and wiped Jesus' feet with her hair. Now, I don't know about today, but in those days, women did not let their hair down in public, let alone wipe somebody's feet with it. The shock that was in the room was no longer a silent shock. There was grumbling going on, and one could be heard to say, "This is outrageous," and another one, "What a waste," and then Judas, one of us, said, "What a waste indeed. This perfume could have been sold, and the money given to the poor, it's worth a year's wages." And just as all of us were starting to kind of agree with Judas, Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She intended to keep this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me." And in that moment, the transformation happened. I realized that what I saw as a waste had been a profound expression of thanks. It was an extravagant gratitude. It was costly love. Mary doing that, expressing that level of love and gratitude to Jesus, shamed me. Because I had to ask myself, how thankful was I for Jesus? Sure, Jesus raised Mary's brother from the dead. That's going to get some thanks, but Jesus had also done all kinds of things for me and his other followers and so many other people. How much did I love him? How much was I willing to express that? And I kept asking those questions all through the evening and, in fact, through the night. Ever have those nights when sleep just doesn't come because the wheels keep on turning? That was me. I even began wondering if there was more to it than just an expression of gratitude. And the next morning, I found there was more to it. Jesus said it was time to go into Jerusalem. So we gathered up and we headed out on the road, and we found the closer we got to Jerusalem, the more people there were. There were people lining the sides of the road and people waving palm branches, and then the crowd was cheering and started to shout out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the King of Israel! Hosanna in the highest!" The King of Israel. You see, Mary believed, no, Mary knew that Jesus was the Messiah, the King that God had promised to send for a long time. Messiah means anointed one. Well, Mary had anointed Jesus with everything she owned when she poured that perfume on his feet. To Mary, Jesus was Messiah and Savior and King, and she expressed extravagant gratitude to him. To me, Jesus was Messiah and Savior and King, and what did I express? Who is Jesus to you? And what do you express? Well, Jesus' story wasn't over. We continued on into the city. And we went to the temple, and Jesus taught in the temple courts. And the friction and tension between him and the authorities grew up more and more, to the point that on Thursday night they arrested him. They tried him in a mockery of justice and found him guilty of something and condemned him to death. Then they took him and they beat him, and then they flogged him and they mocked him, and then they took him outside of the city and there they crucified him. And Mary continued to express her costly love because she was there the whole time. Right up to the point that he died. But then Jesus' story wasn't over then either. In fact, Jesus' story doesn't end. Jesus' story has no ending. And God raised Jesus. The Father raised Jesus to life again on the third day, on the Sunday after he had been killed. But Jesus' resurrection was more than what happened to Lazarus. Lazarus came back to life just as he was, and he continued to live, and then years later he died, just like everybody else. But Jesus' resurrection was different, of a different quality, a different kind. He was like he was before, and he was different from what he was before. Jesus' resurrection is an eternal resurrection. He can't die again. Death has no hold on him. And in that is the proclamation of the Father saying, "My Son is Lord of all." God forgives our sins in Jesus through the cross and through his resurrection. What does that mean? What does that mean to us? Perhaps you have not yet come to accept Jesus as Savior and know him as Lord. If that's the case, what does Mary's witness, what she did, what does that mean to you? What does her extravagant gratitude say to you? What does her costly love proclaim to you? Or perhaps you do trust Jesus as Savior. You do live with him as Lord. And if that's the case, what does Mary's witness mean to you? What are you, what am I willing to sacrifice as an expression of our gratitude for Jesus, our love for Jesus? Will we have extravagant gratitude? Will we have costly love? I want you to wrestle with this week. I want you to wrestle with Mary's response of gratitude and what that was and what that meant to her and the depth of her gratitude for Jesus. And I want you to ask yourself that question. What does my gratitude look like? What should my gratitude look like? Let's pray together. Our loving God, we thank you. We thank you, and the word is just not sufficient. There's a depth to our thanks to you, Lord, for all that you are and all that you have done. You are faithful to us, always. You have been, and you promised always to be. You remain faithful when we turn away from you. You remain faithful even when we turn on you. You remain faithful when we pretend you don't exist or we pretend that you don't matter. You continue to remain faithful and to love us. And from the depths of our souls, Lord, we thank you. But you are not just faithful. You give us so much in Him. You came to us in Jesus. And Jesus lived for us, and He died for us, and He rose again from the dead for us. And we thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the salvation that you offer us in Jesus. We thank you for life and hope and peace and all the things that we know in Jesus to life eternal. We thank you for the witness of Mary. We thank you for her extravagant gratitude, her costly love. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to be more like Mary. Help us to thank you as you truly deserve. Our God, we pray for this world and the various things that are going on around this world. We pray for those places where there is injustice and oppression. This day we remember the genocide in Rwanda now 25 years ago, and the memory of that fills us with horror, Lord, of violence that didn't have to happen. And we pray, Lord, your blessing upon those who still carry the scars of that event. And we pray for all those places in this world where there are tyrants in power, and we pray that you would take them down. And that you would place good people in authority over the nations. Lord, we pray your blessing upon this city and upon our neighborhood here around us. We pray that you would use us as signs of your grace to all the people in this neighborhood. May they see that gratitude in us and want to know why we are so grateful. Make us a blessing to one another, Lord, and to all we meet. Our God, all these prayers we offer you in Jesus' name. Amen. We gather together this morning, and one of the things that we do in worship is to give our offerings. We present to God some of our money, some of our time, some of our efforts, our skills, and we offer it to Him that He should be glorified and that the work of His kingdom should be done. So let us present to God our gifts. Thank you. Our loving God, we thank you for the grace that you give us in Jesus. We thank you for daily provision in our lives and for our families. And we bring these gifts to you today. Receive them, we pray, that by them you would be honored and worshiped. And through them, the work of your kingdom would be accomplished in this place, this city, this world. Be glorified, Lord. We pray in Jesus. Amen. Holy Communion is a gift that is given to the church by which we remember what Jesus has done for us, but it is more than just remembering. It is entering into the very grace that God gives us in Jesus. It is a making his sacrifice a part of ourselves as we take the bread and the cup and we make them part of us. It is a blessed gift. And the Lord provides it for all who trust Jesus as Savior. And so for all who trust him, you are welcome to receive. Let us prepare to come to the table, looking to Lloyd, making sure that we're good for the hymn. Good, we'll do that one. Let us sing. Let us remain standing and confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Let us confess. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after they had eaten, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." We gather to the table at Christ's own invitation. Let us come to him. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have done and given in and through Jesus. We thank you for the cross, which is hideous in what it did and yet glorious in all it accomplished. We thank you for Jesus' willing self-sacrifice. We thank you, Father, that you raised him from the dead on the third day, and that you, Jesus, ascended to be at the right hand of your Father, our Heavenly Father. We bow before you today in a spirit of deep gratitude for all that you have done, all that you have accomplished through the cross and through the resurrection, and that all that you give to us by your grace. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for meaning and purpose in life. We thank you for hope and peace and joy that you give to us. And we thank you for life, life in abundance and life eternal, all in and through Jesus. Bless us as we come to the table, Lord. Bless us in the grace that you give to us in Christ, that grace reflected in the sacrament. May this bread and this cup be to us as the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, and may we know your grace in deeper ways. With thanks, Lord, these prayers we offer you in Jesus' name. Amen. Like Jesus, we take bread, we give thanks to God, and we break it. The body of Christ, broken for you. the body of Christ. The cup of salvation, the new covenant in Christ's blood shed for you.
Thank you.
the blood of Christ. Let us pray together. Most holy God, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for Jesus' resurrection. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the work that you are doing within us to make us a holy people. We thank you for forgiveness and salvation and hope and peace and life to all eternity. We thank you for blessing us. And we pray that you would make us a blessing to one another. Make us a blessing to our families. Make us a blessing to our coworkers, our classmates, all those we meet this week. Even as you have blessed us, make us a blessing, we pray. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Sisters and brothers, go from here in the grace of God, knowing the love that God has for you, the depth of that love, the depth of that grace, and be thankful. And now may the love of God, the Father, and the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be upon you and fill you now and always. Amen. Thank you.